Okay, hello everyone. So first, the shiur is sponsored by Ari and Gitti Wertenthal and Mel David in gratitude to Hashem for all the blessings and the strength, faith, to deal with life challenges. They should have only Bezrat Hashem, Psorot Tovot, Yeshuot v'Nechamot. We are on page 4. We will continue from our last few weeks, so I will just give a short analysis for those who were not here, or just a little bit of a refreshing course for those who were here last week, and 7 days went by, and we might forget a few things. So we really, our issue is the employment of a, I think she's making new copies, the employment of a, can you hear me? On page 4, yeah. Spoke about the employment of a non-Jew in your house. We spoke about the reasons behind of Amira Le'akum, of what you can or cannot tell a non-Jew who works at your house. We spoke about Brit Milah and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which are biblical mitzvot. And even though they are biblical mitzvot, we are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for this mitzvah, to violate a melacha deoraita for Milah or Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which means, for example, if someone buys a land in the land of Israel, he can tell the non-Jew to write for him the document, the contract, in order to purchase the territory, to purchase the land, which we developed an interesting analysis of. These two mitzvot are prototypes, which means you can learn from them for other mitzvot, or there are only these two. Why? Because Brit Milah itself can override Shabbat, and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is very special. And we saw that there is a major machloket rishonim, a dispute between the rishonim regarding this gemarot, and some basically says, look, according your, if you remember, the Rambam talked about a very interesting idea that I think everyone was a little shocked, and maybe everyone is still shocked until today, that you can basically, you know, call a non-Jewish band to play for you on Yom Tov or on Shabbat, because it's really Amira Le'akum Bimkom Mitzvah, and he spoke about the idea that if there is a tzorech, a need, sickness, or tzar, or suffering, you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you. Then we saw some other Rishonim who were very much against it, and says, what are you doing? You're going to destroy Shabbat like that, and basically only for Brit Milah and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, all the other things you cannot. So that's where we are, basically. And then the last thing I think we spoke about was really about building a shul on Shabbat, if you remember that one. And then we spoke about the difference between kablan and sachir, an employer and a kablan. Kablan is someone who says, look, give me the job and I'll finish it up. Well, yes, I think we need one for the microphone. And it's like a tilting. And a sachir is an employee that basically is being paid by the day or by the month. Okay, so now we are on page number 4, and we are on the third source from the bottom, Rambam Hilchot Shabbat Perek Bet Al Achayut, because we decided last week that that's where we're going to start this week regarding Chole, which means what is really the idea if we have someone who is sick at home or sick in the hospital, what you can or cannot tell a non-Jew to do for you, which is obviously very, very common. We use it many times, or we don't know how to use it. So now it's the time. So the Rambam said the following: Chole she'ein bo sakana, osim lo kol tzorkav al yedei goy. So someone is sick, but he's not really in danger. Now what does that mean? Now, before we even go further in the halacha, we need to make some kind of definitions. What does it mean, chole sheyesh bo sakana, and chole she'ein bo sakana? So chole sheyesh bo sakana, it's pretty easy to define. Which is what? Someone who's already in bed, someone who has a heart attack, someone who fell on his head, someone who had a stroke, someone that if you're not going to treat him, he's going to die. Okay, so obviously it's pretty easy. Chole she'ein bo sakana, a sick person who is not really in danger, that's a little bit more complicated. I think I said it here, or if not, I said it in a different class or whatever. We men, when we have a little bit of cold, we think we are going to die. And for us, when we need to take a Tylenol, it's like chole sheyesh bo sakana. If not to us, to our wives, right? And to the household. So obviously, let's not talk about us. What is chole sheyesh bo sakana? you know, in today's world, every time we have a little bit of sensitivity to something, oh my gosh, you know, we need to rush him to the hospital because God forbid something can happen. A child fell, and open up his chin. Oh, we need to rush him into the hospital because if not, you know, he's going to die. What's the time now? Now it's Shabbat at 4:15 in the afternoon. Shabbat is over at 6. Let's go into our car. You can't wait an hour and a half? No, because God forbid. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just trying to describe a reality. We become more sensitive to things like that. You know what? And now I'm going to give you something that is really not a joke, but it's very sensitive, but it's very complicated. God forbid, there is a terror attack. Someone who is a social worker or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, child psychologist or psychiatrist, and she always, when there is a terror attack, she obviously goes and talks to the family and everything else. There was a terror attack, God forbid, and would he or she can go to the family to talk to them? Are they, the victims, meaning the people who are related or relatives of the victim, are they considered as chole she'ein bo sakana or chole she'yesh bo sakana? Now we're talking about mental issues. We do know that a doula, now according to many, many of the poskim, she is considered like a midwife or like a real doctor, and she calms down the woman who's giving birth, and she's allowed to violate Shabbat and everything. This I'm talking about Jewish. Now I'm talking now about telling a non-Jew, for example, to call this social worker or to call this psychiatrist in order to bring them into the place where they need to talk to the victim's relatives, friends, or whatever it is. So obviously, the definition of chole she'ein bo sakana, it's very subjective. B, it's less scientific. Because if you ask a few doctors, and you ask them, let's say, about mental health, some of them, you know, consider it a little bit less, some of them consider it very much. Then you talk about also other things. You know, if someone broke his hand, is that chole she'yesh bo sakana or chole she'ein bo sakana? On one hand, it's suffering. It's very painful. Anyone who broke a hand knows it hurts. The fact that it hurts does not mean that your life is in danger. So sometimes, you know, little thing that makes a lot of blood, people think it's very dangerous. When things that don't cause too much blood, people don't think it's dangerous, but it is really very dangerous. So the idea is that it's very hard to define. But let's, just for the sake of the class, we'll say chole she'ein bo sakana is someone that according to 99.999% of medical opinion, mental health opinion, nothing will happen if we're not going to treat him on Shabbat. So let's just put it like that for now. Yes? I can't. So what I'm saying is let's try just to make a very clear, I would say even probably not a true distinction. Chole she'ein bo sakana, let's say someone who has a little bit of cold. And even if it was during the week, he would just not go to the hospital. Just say, you know what, I'll wait a day or two, I'll drink some tea, I'll be fine. So, chole she'ein bo sakana, osim lo kol tzorko, kol tzrachav al yedei goy. If someone does not have a sakana, is not in danger, you can tell a non-Jew to do for him everything he needs, which is, ketzad, omrim lagoy la'asot tov u'ase lo levashel lo ולאפות ולהעביר רפואה מרשות לרשות וכיוצא בו. You are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do everything for him, even to do what? Cook for him. Bake for him. Bring medicine from the pharmacy. וכן כוחל עיניו מן הגוי בשבת אף על פי שאין שם סכנה. ואם היו צריכים לדברים שאין בהן מלאכה, and if they need things that do not require really work on Shabbat, עושים אותו אפילו על ידי ישראל, לפיכך מעלין אוזניים בשבת ומעלין אונקלי ומחזירים את השבר וכל כיוצא בזה, מותר. So the Rambam make the only distinction between what a Jew and a non-Jew can or cannot do for someone who is not in danger is that a non-Jew can violate Shabbat for him. Now, obviously the non-Jew is not obligated in Shabbat, but he can do works that are prohibited on Shabbat for the Jew, which is cooking, baking, driving to the pharmacy to bring medication. What the Jew can do? the Jew can do for someone who is not in danger, someone who is sick, who is not in danger, can do for him things that are not melachot. For example, lehachzir et hashever. If God forbid someone dislocated his shoulder, the Jew can do what? Push it back. Let's not consider as melacha. So how does that we have? How come that we have something like that? The Rambam says what? Based on what he said, you are allowed to tell a non-Jew in times of sorrow, pain, or need to do things for you that are basically a violation of Melachot Shabbat. This is where the Rambam gets it. Okay. So, says the Kesef Mishneh, Chole she'ein bo sakana, katav atur, so he brings the tour from the 15th century. He says, Kol tzorche chole, bedavar she'ein bo sakana, all the needs of someone who is sick, who is not in danger, who lo yase, he, the Jew, himself, cannot do, אבל אומר לנו חריב ועושה, but he can tell a non-Jew to do it for him, כיוון שאין בו סכנת הגוף. אפילו יש שם סכנת איבר, אין מחללים עליו באיסור דאורייתא, אבל מחללים באיסור דרבנן, אף על גב דאביד מעשה, אבל בכל איש שאין בו סכנת איבר, נסתפק אדוני אבי הראש, אם מותר לחלל עליו בשבות, דאית במעשה. דשמה לא התירו אלא אמירה לנוכרי, אבל לא שבות דאית במעשה, אלא בסכנת איבר. So, translation, explanation, and discussion. Translation. We have chole she'ein bo sakana at all. Someone who is not in danger at all. Okay. Then you have chole she'yesh bo sakana. A sick person who is really in danger. You're not going to treat him, he's going to die. We also have something in the middle. Chole, that a sick person, that only one organ is in danger. For example, give me an example. Okay, might be. Let's take something that it's like a little bit more common. Broken arm or leg, but then you can fix it. Sakanat evar meaning you can lose it. Your finger was cut. Okay, God forbid. Your finger was cut. And the question is, you stop the bleeding. I don't know if that's exactly possible. You stop the bleeding. The question is, should you violate Shabbat to go to the hospital? And then what they will what? They will reattach it, reassemble it, whatever it is. Sakanateva, you might lose it if you're not going to go and violate Shabbat or not. So what's the question? Obviously, you can tell the non-Jew to take you. That's not a problem. If he can cook for you and bake for you and bring medication from the pharmacy, obviously he can drive you into the car and take you to the hospital. That's not the question. That's not the doubt that the Rosh had. The Rosh had an issue of what? Of if a Jew can do it for him in Melachot de Rabbanan. In rabbinic restrictions. With rabbinic restrictions. Which, what's the problem here? We know. Why there is a question? The thing is like that. We know that if someone is in danger, Chole she'yesh bo sakana, should we ask a non-Jew to do things for us or the Jew needs to do it? The Jew. It's called pikuach nefesh. The question is pikuach nefesh is limited only for the entire being, for the entire life, or also for what? For one organ, labriot. That's the question of the Rosh. And therefore, he has a doubt. Because on one hand, some people view losing one organ as losing my life. And for some people, okay, so he lost one, but he didn't violate Shabbat. So the idea is like that, again, to tell a non-Jew for sure, not a problem. I'm talking about what? A Jew doing that for you. Then, says the Kesef Mishneh, אבל הרמב״ם כתב, חולה שאין בו סכנה עושים לו כל צרכיו על ידי נוכרי, ואם היו צריכים לדברים שאין בהם מלאכה, עושים אותם אפילו על ידי ישראל, לפכך מעלים אוזניים ומעלים אנקלי בשבת וכל קל יוצא בזה. יראה מדברי הטור שרבינו פשט ספקו של הראש לכולה. שהרי התיר לעשות על ידי ישראל צרכים שאין בהם מלאכה, אף על פי שכל רפואה אסורה משום שבות. He says, according to the Rambam, even a Jew can do it. Because if it doesn't require a מלאכה. According to the Rosh, we have an issue. So, in conclusion, for this detail, חולה שאין בו סכנה, if he's not in danger at all, you can tell a non-Jew to do everything for him, and a Jew can do everything that it's not melacha. If there is a sakana to one organ, to one limb, then a machloket between the Rosh and the Rambam. Everyone is with me? Okay. Lim.
Ah, that's what I
was thinking. Yeah. Right. I got it. Okay. So that's why I changed.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Rambam says don't do it. And also I will say one thing. It's not only with halachot like that. We have, I don't know if that's modern thing or that's because we are more aware, or maybe because of all those examples that, you know, you start with something small and then, God forbid, if it's not being treated, it's becoming something huge. That we are very sensitive to the things like that. And we also see it, for example, with fast days, Sukkot. You see the amount of questions of today, of women who are pregnant or they nurse, that they ask you the question, should I fast or not? Now, what's the difference between a woman who is pregnant today to a woman who was pregnant 200 years ago? The water bottle. The water bottle. Now, you look at me like, what's going on with him? We use now to drink every 10 minutes. You don't leave the house without a water bottle and without a health bar or whatever it is. Why? Because we are so afraid that, God forbid, 15 minutes without water, we will die or something like that. And also the amount of water we drink is much more than in the, I don't want to call it ancient times, 100 years ago, but the mindfulness of the importance of drinking and getting your kidneys moving, and it's much more than it used to be many years ago. And you know what? I mean, Baruch Hashem, the longevity of life in today's life is much more than it used to be in 100 years ago or 200 years ago. And obviously more than that. So now we became more sensitive. And we also believe not only in treating things, but to prevent them. Much of the health today is geared towards what? Preemptive medicine. And in order to what? To prevent an issue. Yes?
Wouldn't it be a better indicator to, I guess, there were no studies done, but, you know, to find out how many women died so many years ago?
Sure. And I think many of them died not only because of not drinking enough water, but lack of nutrition and health was terrible. An infection, and how many women died in times of giving birth, or the children died. So obviously, we became more mindful. And therefore, the amount of questions now we get from Nashim Be'erayon, women who are pregnant, and it's much more than it used to be. And we already have, in the last 100 years, we see in the Mishnah Berurah, even, and definitely in the Aruch HaShulchan, that Yarda Chulsha Lador. What is Yarda Chulsha? There is this weakness. We're not as strong as they used to be. And I think there is something to it in terms of not strong physically, I think it's more mentally. But whatever it is, the idea is that today, and that's, Susie, where I agree with you, is the idea that, you know, if you tell someone, look, no, maximum is going to lose his finger. He's going to look at you and say, maximum, you're going to lose your life. You know, it sounds like we're not going to do that. So this is where this is coming from. And obviously we have the Rambam who agrees with you and say basically you are allowed to do it. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Chole shenafan mechamat cholyo lemishka ve'ein bo sakana, says the Rama, o sheyesh lo michush shemitzta'er ve'chala mimeno kol gufo. You see the Rama already 559 or 560 years ago. Says if you have a little bit of sickness that you are really have tremendous affliction or suffering from it, and your entire body now is sick because of it. It can be what? It can be also fever. That your entire body is like sick. She'az afal pi sheholech, even though you can walk, kenafal lemishkav dami. It's like what? You are in bed, even though you can walk. אומרים לאינו יהודי לעשות לו רפואה, אבל אין מחללים עליו את השבת ביסור דאורייתא, אפילו יש בו סכנת עבר. So you are allowed to do what? You are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do everything for him. You yourself cannot violate איסור דאורייתא. Now, מותר לומר לאינו יהודי לעשות תפשיל לקטן שאין לו מה לאכול? The stam צוחק קטן כחולה שאין בו סכנה דמי. So then, now he's expanding the היתר, and he says, חולה שאין בו סכנה includes what? קטן. A baby. A minor. You are allowed to tell a non-Jew to even cook for him. Now, I want to ask you a question. Okay. Trying to make it as complicated as I can. You didn't turn off the light in the fridge. You have a baby. And you have milk, special milk that needs to be refrigerated, or medicine for the baby, and you need it. If you're going to leave the refrigerator open all Shabbat, it's not going to work. You need to do one of the things, to close the refrigerator or to turn off the lights. What do? You need to quickly answer after all those classes. No, I did open it. I forgot. I opened it. Now I took them. I just can't close it. And if I'll leave it like that and it says summer Shabbat, it's going to, I will not be able to use it. It needs to be refrigerated. Oh, close it with Shinui, one option, maybe. The problem is to reopen it and then you're going to get the lights on again. Based on what we said, you find a non-Jew and you tell him directly, we know all those tricks. You know, it's too hot, it's too dark, it's too warm, it's too this. Directly. Katan is considered as what? As chole she'ein bo sakana. What is chole she'ein bo sakana? A sick person who is not in danger. But katan is chole she'ein bo sakana. The stam tzuchei katan ke chole she'ein bo sakana dami. And therefore, according to the Rambam, according to even the safek of the Rosh, you are allowed to what? To tell a non-Jew, turn off the light, or open and close for me the refrigerator. If you don't have a non-Jew, no, that's something else. Then I will probably tell you, while it's open, take the medicine or the milk, put it in your neighbor's refrigerator. Now ask me if your neighbor also did not, forgot to turn off the lights. Okay, whatever. Bring it to the rabbi. So, and then just leave the refrigerator the way it is or whatever. So, here, it's not, if the katan is chole sheyesh bo sakana, that's a different thing. Then a Jew can do things for him. We are talking about, you know, he needs vitamins, so he drinks a special milk. If he will not drink it for a day, nothing will happen to him. You can find substitutes. It's just easier to give him this special milk, whatever. Nothing will really happen to him if he will drink one day a different milk. We're talking about something that is not in danger. If you tell me that if he will drink anything else, or if he will eat anything else, he will die, that's chole sheyesh bo sakana. And then, now let's see, the Rama says, וכל שאסור לעשות על ידי ישראל, אפילו על ידי החולה בעצמו אסור, אבל כשעושה לו אינו יהודי, מותר לחולה לסייעו קצת דמסייע אין בו ממש. This is also an interesting thing. He said that when a non-Jew does something for the Jew, the chole himself should not help the non-Jew to do it, but he can be mesayeh. He can help him a bit. So for example, what does it mean mesayeh? For example, if he needs to lift up his hand, he doesn't need to just put it like that and the non-Jew needs to lift his hand. He can lift his hand and to be mesayeh. If he needs to get, what else can I find as a mesayeh? Yeah, okay. Show him where are the key, the car keys. Okay, not to give it to him, but you know, to show him, to help him a bit, so he can do it for him. Okay, now, so here, and that's, we spoke about that a little bit in the other weeks. You should not directly command an angel to do something for you if there is no need. Really, it's just for pleasure, or you can do without. Here we're talking about a need, and when there is a need, a pain, suffering, whatever it is, then you can go directly to the non-Jew to tell him to violate even Shabbat melachot midoraita. If there is a need, if someone is sick and things like that. And that's where, you know, you already brought it up, so I will, you know, when you tell a non-Jew, you need to be ready on Shabbat for all sorts of things. For example, people will tell you it's too hot, it's too warm, it's too cold, it's too light, it's too dark. And you need to know, you know, when they say to you it's too dark, you turn on the lights. When it's too warm, you turn on the AC. And then you see him on Shabbat and say, it's really too hot. Isn't that like almost telling him directly? We have a lot of, look, I will tell you the truth. You know what, let me take a step back, because we are going to go into some heterim and some cases that you will be a little bit surprised of what you are allowed to do. So first we spoke about, and that's exactly what I'm going to speak about. So we spoke about it at the beginning with the reasons why you can't say it. And one of the things we said, you know, Shabbat will look like a joke. Every time we use heterim to do things, you can look at that in two ways. You can look at that as, look at these Jews. They try to manipulate the system in the system. And it's a joke. It's a joke. Or you can say, look, Jews want to survive. And Jews want to thrive. And Jews do not want to suffer if there is no need. And therefore, if there are halachic tools, why not to use them? So where is the difference between option A and option B? It's called abuse. Are you going to abuse the heterim for all sorts of things, knowing that there is no reason whatsoever? Meaning, for example, I can tell you if there is a need, you can tell the non-Jew directly. Okay, for me, there is a NBA Finals on Friday night. For me, it's a need. I need to know the score. I can hear where you're coming from, but I will tell you that you need to see a psychologist if that's a need of yours. Okay? I don't think it's a need. I think it's a want. I fully understand if you are a real fan, you really want to know the scores. Besides, I'm not against it. But you know what? It's still Shabbat. So you know what? Calm down. Wait for until Abdallah and then check it out. You can compare it to a need of a child who is sick. Or if you will have no food for Shabbat. It's different. So who is responsible for that? You. And this is, in my opinion, the beauty of halacha. You go to the rabbi, you ask for heter. I might give it to you, I might not. But let's say I give it to you. You need to apply it for the question that you ask. Don't be a super chuchem, ober chuchem, and start applying it for all sorts of things. Just because you think it's the same thing. And you have Ovdim Zarim around, you have our cousins, you have also. Now, you're asking if we don't have? So we don't. Welcome to Israel. Or to a specific neighborhood in Israel that they don't have it. And then, okay, if there is a need, if someone is, God forbid, really in danger, you go ahead and do it by yourself. That's Pikuach Nefesh. If not, more of a problem. Okay, now, let's see the Shulchan Aruch. I'm skipping a bit. We are going to the Shulchan Aruch. So, it says, Davar she'ino melacha, ve'ino asur lasot b'shabbat ela mishum shvut. If something it's not considered as a melacha, but it's only the Rabbanan, mutar le'Israel lomar le'ino yudi lasoto b'shabbat, you are allowed to tell an non-Jew to do it for you on Shabbat, to tell him directly, not to hint, directly. Vehu, but you need to have what? Miktzat choli, that you need to be a little bit of sickness there. Or yet צריך לדבר צורך הרבה, or there is a great need, let's take the Rambam, או מפני מצווה. כיצד? אומר ישראל לעיני יהודי בשבת לעלות באילן, להביא שופר לתקוע תקיעה דמצווה. Let's say one of the children was mischievous and put the shofar on a tree. Okay? On Shabbat. You can tell the non-Jew to what? To climb on the tree, which is Isur de Rabbanan, in order to bring the shofar. Now what are you going to do with the shofar on Shabbat? Nothing. Okay? So you wait for Yom Tov. But it's also Shabbat. Or Yom Tov, it's Isur de Rabbanan. Or להביא מים דרך חצר שלא ירבו לרחוץ בו המצטער. You can bring water from a different yard that was not מעורבת in order to give a bath to someone who is suffering. ויש אוסרין. But some people are obviously against it. ועיין לעד, יש מקילין אפילו במלאכת דאורייתא. So the Shulchan Aruch brings all the opinions that we brought before. Take a look at the Sha'arei Tshuva. This is an interesting thing. כתב בשאילת יבץ, חלק ב' סימן קוף למתת, לצדד, להתיר, למסור לאקום פקט מרגליות, והאקום ישלח עם סור, השליח עם סור בשבת לפוסטה, אף שאקום צריך לכתוב. What's the case here? You are going to give a little bag of diamonds. Pearls. Margaliot. Okay, pearls. To the Akum, to the Nanju. The Nanju will take it to the post office, will sign on your behalf, and the post office will send the pearls on Shabbat. You are allowed to do it according to the Sheilat Yavetz. Are you with me? Here, it's not so common, or not common at all. B'chutz la'aretz, are you allowed to put something in your mailbox, lift up this thing, the flag, knowing that on Shabbat, the non-Jew mail guy, okay, will pick it up and send it on Shabbat? Let's open it up. Now, the one? Yes. Let's open it up as rabbis. Now we are all going to be rabbis, okay? So let's think about it. What can be the problem? Very good. You are asking him directly, and there is no really a need. If you will do it. Now, when I said there is no really a need, even if there is a need, you're talking about monetary loss. You're not talking, God forbid, about physical health, anything. You're talking about monetary loss. By the way, we will see. You will be surprised how I'm going to take this this example and make it something very relevant to all of us in a minute. So, there is no need. If there is no need, how can you tell directly a non-Jew to do something for you? Right? Good. Other opinion says, no, there is. I'm not asking him. That's his job. A mailman, when he sees the flag up, he takes it without asking him. He opens the box, takes it, put it, and sends it. B, C, I didn't ask him to send it today. I put it in the mailbox. I didn't ask him to do it today. I know also that on Sunday it's not going to get there. I don't care, it can get there on Wednesday. So I'm not pressing him to what? To do it on Shabbat. According to the Sheilat Yavetz, you are allowed to do it. Now, fast forward to 2019. Are you allowed? You have a website. Are you allowed to continue to maintain the website on Shabbat, selling stuff? Yeah, or providing information, whatever it is. You have membership list, and they applied or whatever to your website or app, whatever it is. Are you allowed to continue to have it on Shabbat? What do you do with the profits? Do you see how complicated it can become? I will blin neder, maybe one of the classes will talk about real modern issues on Shabbat, but this is something that it is. I mean, look, Zuckerberg did not call me, okay, to ask me about Facebook and no one else. But I would say that this is obviously something that it's a major question. Oh, so many of them have non-Jews operating the hotels, the malls, whatever it is. The question is, with a website, do you need to have a non-Jewish partner who is basically partnering with you, especially for Shabbat? So what we have, it's becoming very, very complicated. We also have other things that I can bring up, not now. It just, we're going to keep it for next time, Bezrat Hashem. And then he says, ובשוט זרע אמת מתיר לשלוח לאקום לילך לפני ערכאות, להשתדל לגבות חוב מאקום אם הוא הפסד מרובה. הגם שהאקום יכתבו בכתב שלהם, כיוון שאם לא יעשה כן יהיה הפסד. פשוט זרע האמת, I don't know exactly who he is. He was matir, he permitted to what? To send a non-Jewish lawyer, or a non-Jew, to go to court that met on Shabbat, in order to what? To get the loan that a non-Jew owed me money, and to get the money if there is a fsed merupe. You're with me? That's Chesron Kis, since when that's become a tzorich on Shabbat. I'm just going to guess, to really, I'm assuming something that I probably should not assume. But look, especially in their times, and I'm talking about, 300, 500 years ago, not more than that. Some of the non-Jews also knew some of the Jewish laws, and they knew that if they will go to court on Shabbat, the Jew will not be able to what? To show up. And they will go, and they will go to the court that Mimela was biased against, probably against Jews. And if the Jew does not show up, they will be exempt. So one, what would you say? You fool me once, you fool me twice, but the third time, I'm not stupid. So they went to the rabbi. That's my guess. That's how the Zera Emet had to deal with it. The Zera Emet did not just sit in yeshiva and said, what if theoretically, a Jew came to ask him, says, Rabbi, what should I do? I'm going to lose $1 million because this partner that I used to have is going to want to protect himself for my claim on Shabbat, knowing that I will not be able to come. What should I do? And the rabbi told him, send your lawyer who happened to be a non-Jew and he will represent you. So you will not going to lose the money. That's probably what exactly happened. So what you see goes back to what I said before. Heterim, you can look at them as just manipulation of halacha, or you can look at them as tools for Jews to survive in a very hostile environment. So you are talking about the sugiya of lifnei iver, lo titen michshol. You should not place an obstacle in front of a blind person, which the rabbis... Now, we need to know that I can claim, if it doesn't go on my website, it will go to my competitor's website. So therefore, I'm not giving it to him, it was his choice. Which means then there is no issur, midoraita of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. There is another issur of the Rabbanan, it's called mesayer, that you help him out in accomplishing whatever. Especially if your website is the cheapest and the fastest. So that might be a problem, you are correct, but we need to also understand that it's not issur deoraita, because he can get it in a different place as well. Which means, for example, if someone is an owner of a non-kosher restaurant, and a Jew comes into your restaurant, you can still serve him. Preferably not a Jew serving a Jew, but he can still be served. Why? Because if he will not come to my restaurant, he can go to someone else's restaurant. So there is no chiyuv on you to get him out of your restaurant. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah said, "Afilu b'melacha deoraita, al yedei no yehudi b'mkom mitzvah. Mi hu kvar katav rima la'el deyesh le'achmir b'zeh, v'chen ikar ki de'a zu yirak da'at yechida. V'da'a de'ma de'kaiman anamira le'eno yehudi shvutu, afilu m'omer le'eno yehudi sh'yomar le'eno yehudi acher la'asot ha'melacha b'shabbat, v'achavot ya'ir m'tzaded le'akel b'zeh. And a mishum shvut ve'en b'sefer ha'im sh'katav sh'b'makom mefsed gadol yesh nismoch ha'na mekelim." So now we have a very interesting thing. Again, it's a historical testimony of what exactly the Jewish community struggled with. On one hand, the rabbis tried to keep Shabbat as much as you can, and therefore to limit what you can tell a non-Jew. On the other hand, they were well aware that if it will cause hefsed gadol, not only that people will not listen to them, people will go the other way. And therefore, b'makom hefsed gadol, because we have this de'a, this opinion that says that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew, even b'melachot deoraita, they allowed in times of need, which includes also a monetary loss. And now take a look at this question. Shut b'mareh abazak is the responsa of Eretz Chemda. Kolel Eretz Chemda is a kolel for Dayanim, wonderful kolel, and answering a lot of questions all over the place. The question is the following. Asa'at zaken lebet ha'kneset b'shabbat v'b'yom tov al yedei goy. What's the question? Can you ask a non-Jew to drive someone who is sick or old to shul? That question came from Colombia, Cali, Colombia, in Tafshin Nun Daled, which is 26 years ago, 25 years ago. Oh, we'll talk about that too. We'll talk about that too. Yeah. So he said, so let's just see. the question, the rabbi who asked the question from Cali, Colombia, says like that. האם מותר לאדם שאיננו מסוגל להלך עצמאית להגיע לבית הכנסת בשבת וביום טוב באמצעות רכב הנהוג ביד נהגוי, כך שמעתי בשם הרב הקודם. The rabbi that was before me, says this rabbi, told me that there is a heter to tell a non-Jew to pick up a Jew who is old and can't walk, to pick him up and to bring him to shul. הבהרות. So first, some clarifications. מדובר ביהודי קשיש. We are talking about a very elderly person. שמאז הגעתו לפני מספר שנים לקלי, הינו שומר מצוות. And he came to Cali a few years ago and he became observant. יהודי זה איננו מסוגל ללכת עצמאית. Can't walk by himself. ולכן, and therefore, בכל יום שמתקיימת תפילה בבית הכנסת, every time that there is תפילה in shul, הוא מגיע באמצעות רכב הנהוג בידי נהג גוי. He has a, I guess, a driver, a non-Jewish driver, or he takes a cab, and he comes to shul. So he, during the week, he is makpid, that every time there is a minyan, he is going to be one of them. ובשבתות וימים טובים, יש לו צער רב על שאיננו יכול להגיע. And on Shabbat, and Yom Tov, he's in pain that he can't come to shul. הוא פנה אליי, ושאל אם יוכל להגיע גם בשבת ויום טוב באותה דרך. So he asked the rabbi, can I use my non-Jewish driver to bring me to shul? יש לציין, the rabbi says to the kollel, ארץ חמדה, he says to him that אם נפסוק לו שאסור לו, הוא יקבל את הפסק. I want to clarify, says the rabbi, that if we will tell him you can't, he will accept it. He will be sorry, but he will accept it. עוד יש לציין, כי כל שאר המתפללים כמעט מגיעים ברכבן לבית הכנסת גם בשבתות וימים טובים. I also want to mention to you that most of the people who comes to shul, they come with their car. So, this guy at least asked the question, and he was going to be driven by a non-Jew. ולכן הגעתו של יהודי זה בצורה כזו אינו מעורר את תשומת לב מיוחדת. So if he will come with a non-Jewish driver, not too many people will look at him. תשובה. גם אדם שאינו מסוגל להלך באורח עצמאי, אינו רשאי להגיע לבית הכנסת על די רכב הנהוג בידי נהג גוי בין בשבת ובין ביום טוב, אם ישנו פתרון אחר. So even if you are sick and you can't, you shouldn't be driven by a non-Jew, unless there is no any other solution. אך אם אין לו כל אפשרות אחרת להגיע לבית הכנסת, but if there is no way he can come to shul, אלא אם כן יוסע על ידי גוי, unless he will be driven by a non-Jew, הרי במקרה מיוחד זה, שהיהודי עלול להינתק מכל קשר עם תפילה ובית כנסת, in this very specific case, if we will not allow him to come on Shabbat on Yom Tov, that this is really the life of a community like that, he will be detached from the community. ניתן לסמוך על דעת בעל האיתור, we can rely on that opinion that we said, ולהתיר לו שבות במקום מצווה, and to allow him to tell the non-Jew to pick him up on Shabbat and to bring him to shul, אכן יעשה זאת רק מדי פעם, בדילוג על שבתות מספר. But he can't do it every Shabbat, he can do it like once in a while. Now we'll talk about this psak, and we're going to really analyze this psak. It's an interesting psak. ואולם, אם המדובר בקשר לקיום התפילה ושיעורי התורה בשבת בבית הכנסת, והדבר יועיל להציל יהודים מנסיעה למקומות בידור ובילוי, וכדלאל, הרי נראה שיש להקל בכך אפילו באיסור דאורייתא, כדעת בעל האיתור שאף הרמה הסתייג מכול הזו, רק באופן שאין בו צורך גדול, והרי בנידודנו אין לך צורך גדול מזה. שהרי מדובר בהצלה רוחנית של יהודים שהם בחזקת תינוקות שנשבו, I will translate in a minute, ולא במצווה שיש בה הנעת גוף, ובמעשה שיש לו סיכוי להשפיע לטובה, לקרב ליהדות ולהצין מתמיעה. לכן, יש להתיר מקום להתיר הסעה ברכב גדול נהוג בידי נהג גוי, האוסף את היהודים לבית הכנסת, ואחר כן מפזר אותם לבתיהם. He says, in such a community, that if they don't come to shul, they will probably go somewhere else, and their connection to Judaism will be minimum, nothing, zero, minus, it's probably even better to arrange what? Asa'a, a driver with a bus, a non-Jewish driver that will pick them up, bring them to shul, and bring them back home. But this is a very specific case, which if they don't come to shul, they are basically bye-bye from Judaism. אכן יש לזכור שעדיין זה יותר דחוק מאוד משום שזה קבוע. But with arranging an הסעה, that's a little bit of a problem. Why? Because it's what? It's set every week. And the heter he gave to the individual was only once in a while. ועל הרב המתיר לזאת להיזהר לחלקל דבריו בצורה שתהיה קרובה לשכר ורחוקה מן ההפסד, ודבר שאין צריך לומר כי כל היכול להימנע משימוש ביתר זה, תבוא עליו ברכה. And everyone who can refrain from using the הסעה, it's better. Okay. Let's analyze the psak, the considerations, the halach considerations, the sensitivity, the future predictions, the danger. Let's really analyze it like dayanim. What do we have? We have a question from an elderly Jew who lives in Cali, Colombia. I was never there. My guess, it's not exactly Boro Park, Shari Chesed, or Baca. Okay? So if you don't go to shul, you are not really part of the community. Why even Mechalelei Shabbatot go to shul? Because it's a social thing. It's where you feel like you are a Jew. You want to hear the rabbi. You want to feel that you are close to Judaism. That's the situation in communities, especially probably like that. This Jew, I'm talking about now the individual, the elderly Jew, he doesn't want a heter only for Shabbat. He himself, whenever he can come to shul, he comes. So he shows that what? That he wants to be connected. However, from the Sheila itself, you understand that there is no minyan there every day. There's no daily minyanim. There is once in a while, there is a minyan, he shows up, he comes. On Shabbat and Yom Tov, when the Chayei HaKeila, the life of the community is being really built, that's the time he wants to be there. Now, you will tell me, okay, so you know what, the rabbi should invite him every Shabbat. So he can, you know, be around the shul or the gvir, whatever. He's an elderly person. He would like to stay in his own bed, in his own house. This option is not a good option for him. Therefore, we are going back to square one, which is what? A driver. However, if he will miss one Shabbat, let's say we will allow him to come every Shabbat, but you know what, this Shabbat he just can't. Would he be in such pain and suffering that he didn't attend shul? Answer is, no. So because the need is, I need to be connected to the Jewish community, even if you are not there every Shabbat, say that you can still be connected to the shul, right? If he goes and travel for 2 weeks, but he's going to die because he didn't attend shul, Alevai, it was, you know, like that, God forbid that he will die. But the thing is that you are like so connected to shul. So the idea is, why only once in a while? Because once in a while, if we will not allow it, you will be totally disconnected. So that's the idea behind it. Now, what's the Isur? The Isur is to tell a non-Jew to do for you melacha deoraita. So halachically, we have the opinion of the Bala Itu that says what? That you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you even if there is Isur deoraita. Now it's true, the Rama doesn't like it so much, and many others are against him. But we saw in Halakha that this opinion is still being brought to Halakha, which means it still exists. And if there is such a need, let's use it. Now, should we arrange an asa'a? Let's tell all the members who comes with their cars, don't come with your cars anymore. We are going to pick you up. Sign up before Shabbat, and the non-Jewish driver will pick you up. Now that's going to be an interesting shul, right? Because we know, we need to bring them to shul. I don't know how many of you were in small communities or communities that have nothing. To make them come to shul on Shabbat is a vital, component of their DNA. That's Judaism for them. There's nothing else. This is Judaism for them. And you can always write them off, but you know what? I'm not going to. So the thing is that he now entertained the idea to have a set thing that problematic halachically, it's maybe sending the what? The wrong message. However, by not doing that, they still come by themselves on Shabbat. That's where we have the issues. Now, when you think about it, this is a very communally sensitive issue. It's not only halachic. Because now we are fully dependent on what? On the community's reaction. Some people in the community can look at that and say, this rabbi is liberal. Now let's push for more. Right? He was matir to have a non-Jewish driver picking us up. He's probably a liberal guy, a progressive guy, let's push. And some others will look at that and say, look, the rabbi tried to prevent us from driving. That's why he used this heter to ask a non-Jewish driver to do it for us. We really appreciate it. This rabbi, I don't know if liberal or not, but he's Shomer Torah and Mitzvot. He really wants us to come. And we need to try to do what? To buy homes next to the shul. Now, this is not under the rabbi's control. And that's why they said the rabbi needs to be what? Very careful. Very sensitive. You do not know what will be the community's reaction. Leave alone what other rabbis will say about him. That's who cares now. I'm talking about what? About the community itself. Because you can set yourself up for what? For disaster or for a great success. And it's not depend on you, which is scary. So the idea is that this question brings to a boiling point everything we spoke about before. It will just create a better need. No, it will be the same thing because with all due respect, you know, if the shul does not have someone to lend the Torah, so they don't, but we will not allow someone to violate Shabbat. However, the question was not about that he was the tenth for a minion. Okay. It's so based on that, it will be the same with a woman. If you're talking about a woman that will be totally disconnected from Judaism if she will not attend, the psak did not specify only to pick up men. Which is an interesting thing. Yeah, which is an interesting thing because I know where you're coming from. Oh, no, don't take it like that. I'm not talking about that. Because you are saying, you know, maybe the basis for this tshuva is that, look, this man is maybe is the one for the minyan, maybe he can lay in the Torah, and that's why we allowed him. Answer is no. The dominant...
Listening to that, the shofar, or the listening to the Megillah, you can all do that at home.
Right. But here on Shabbat, the dominant force is the social and the connection to Judaism. And this is an amazing tshuva. Now, what do we have today? We have the Kalnoit, you know, the Tzomet that did this thing. I think it's called Kalnoit. So what Tzomet did? So Tzomet basically said, look, there is a need. And they want to go to shul. People with disabilities or a handicap, whatever, they want to go to shul. How do we do that when we don't have too many non-Jewish drivers? So you create a grama. What is grama? Indirect cause. Grama is basically decreasing the level of the isur to the rabbanan, to rabbinic, and then when there is a confrontation between a rabbinic restriction and tsar takes over the restriction. Now, how does that work? So there are different konoyot, but now is that you turn on the key, nothing happens. A minute later, it starts moving. So you are not responsible really for that. It's like almost like a Shaon Shabbat kind of thing. Oh, it's like making that like a non, you're asking like a non-Jew to do something for you. Now, interesting, and this is where I'm going to conclude because we'll have next week Bezrat Hashem more, but this is where I saw Rav Rosen Zichrono Livracha was the head of Machon Tzomet, the Tzomet Institute. He was very harif, was very sharp. Not only halachically, and he was an engineer, but just like very witty. And he wrote an article after they came out with these scooters. The article's name is Lehabit Lanecheba Enaim. Look straight into the handicapped eyes. Look at his eyes. And what was the article about? After Machon Tzomet came up with this thing, obviously they got bashed by many people that never even read the halacha and the psak. But, oy vey, atem mechalelim Shabbat, and you are destroying Shabbat, and blah, 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 blah. Okay. And he said, first and foremost, look at the psak. If you can refute the psak, let me know. That's A. B. When was the last time you looked at someone who is handicapped or have disabilities, and you look at him in his eyes and you told him, you're going to be home for the entire day for Shabbat? Which means what? Sensitivity is not what pushes us to find solutions in halacha, but it's a major consideration. That was the main idea of the article. Look at his eyes. You want to keep him at home every Shabbat when you have a solution that is halachically kosher? Why would you do that? We are not saying that everyone who lives, that bought a beautiful home 10 kilometers from the shul, and he says, I want to use the kalnoit, even though no, I run a marathon every day, for him, we will tell him what? I'm not selling it to you. Walk or buy another home next to the shul. We are giving this permission to whom? To people who need it. They are already feel sometimes disenchanted or disconnected to the shul and to the community because of their disabilities. We are bringing them what? Bringing them to the shul. Same thing, by the way, with Maalit Shabbat. Many people ask me, what's my opinion on Maalit Shabbat? And my opinion is, if you need to use it, use it. You will not see me going into Maalit Shabbat. You know why? Because all the time I take the stairs. Every time I take the stairs. Even if the fifth floor. If it's the 12th floor, I'll take the elevator. And then on Shabbat, if I'm staying on the 12th floor, which I'm probably not, but let's say I do, then I will check with myself. If I'm going to come sweaty, out of breath, and then I need to entertain people, I will probably take the Maalit Shabbat. And not because I compromise, but because I look at the big picture. But if it's the second floor and I don't need it and I can use, or even if it's in the 12th floor, but I can take it easy and get there without, so I don't need to use the heter. But if you need to use the heter, don't be a kitbe questionnaire. You know what is a kitbe questionnaire? In the army, it's called the kitbe question. You ask the commander wants to drive you crazy, and you ask him, should I bring my bag or not? The commander, a bag is a kitbeg in the army language, okay? Most of the times, the commander will tell you, sure, put it on your head and start running, okay? Don't ask kitbeg questions. If you need it, you are disabled, you are handicapped, you are too old, you can't walk the stairs, it's choking when in the stair, whatever it's called, it's too steep, it's too wide, it's too narrow, you don't need to ask the rabbi for that. You have a brain. Assess and make a decision. So it's not a matter of if I rely on Maalit Shabbat or not. Because sometimes when I stay in a hotel, Pesach, whatever, some people, oh, you don't use the Maalit Shabbat, what, you don't think it's kosher? I said, no, it's kosher, very much kosher, but I don't need it. It reminds me, you know, always the story of Moshe Feinstein, not God forbid that I'm mashveh, but he didn't drink from one of the milk. He had two milks. He pulled and he looked at it. He didn't drink, and then he took the other one. And all the students thought that this one is not kosher. They asked him, Rebbe, no, why didn't you drink from that? He said, it was spoiled. It was expired. Why should I drink, you know, spoiled milk? Nothing to do with kosher or not kosher. So the idea is, and this is where the kalnoit, or it's called kalnoit, that's what it's called. This kalnoit, this scooter, was made for people who need it. Everyone has a different need. But it's not for you to drive it on Shabbat. You know, also, when a person will ask me to buy it or not to buy it, and he will share with me his needs, I will say, look, you're going to use it for what? Come to shul. If you have a meal that you are invited and you're already there and it's too far, you can go. It's still consider a seudat Shabbat, because if you tell him not, basically you are destroying his social component, which is very important for a community. But if you will tell me, look, I would like to drive it to, I don't know, to, no, not to, but, you know, I want to drive it to visit my grandson who is in yeshiva. I will tell him, you can do it Motzei Shabbat. Take the car, take a taxi, you can do it on Motzei Shabbat. You don't need to do it right now. Meaning, again, you speak to him, you explain to him or her when is that heter was given, and again, not to abuse it. So this is, I think, and we will see Bezrat Hashem even more next week, how sensitive we are and how smart the rabbi needs to be, in a way, when he conveys the message. Right? That's, by the way, I will just say one thing for you to think about. Blind people bringing their dogs to shul. That's exactly the same question. Independency versus shul, dogs. So we have this idea, and we'll talk about it in the future.